It took 5 requests and a subpoena for Todd Park to finally appear before the House Science, Space, and Technology Subcommittee on Oversight. But yesterday's hearing on the security of the healthcare.gov site never did get to the bottom of the former federal chief technology officer's involvement, what he knew and when, leading up to the October 2013 troubled launch. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins me now with highlights from that hearing. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so why are they still picking on Todd Park over this? Why is there still confusion over last year's rollout?
Well, I think because two different perspectives have been emerging over the last year about what many people called a debacle of a rollout. Now, basically, the Republicans are saying Park was deeply involved and played a major role in the oversight of the Affordable Care Act portal. The other side, the Democrats, say, yes, he was part of the oversight team, but really from a 50,000-foot level and only dove into the weeds on occasion. But really, Todd Park had little power to change the direction of the failed launch. This exchange between Congressman Paul Brown, the subcommittee chairman, and Park really shows the ambiguity of the situation.
From the highlighted sections of one of your subpoenaed emails dated June 26, 2013, sent to Marilyn Tavener, Michelle Snyder, and Henry Chow about, quote, a deep dive session with Henry Chow. Specifically, you wrote, quote, Marilyn, I'm also going to visit with Henry and team for one of our evening deep dive sessions to get up to speed on the latest status of IT and testing. There's no substitute for an evening deep dive. Mr. Park, please explain to me how you define deep, detailed knowledge, and then contrast that with a deep dive experience with Mr. Chow in that last several hours.
In my private sector experience, when you have really deep, detailed, comprehensive knowledge of a project, that comes from being the project manager. That comes from being the person who's in charge of running things. You know what's going on. You know each axis of what's going on an ongoing basis. And that's the role I've served in my private sector life on a variety of projects, but that was not the role I was serving on the federally facilitated marketplace. That was CMS's responsibility. What's happening here is that on a few occasions, I spent time with the folks who were actually running the project and asked a series of questions and got information. But that level of knowledge pales in comparison to the really deep, detailed, comprehensive knowledge that you would have as the project manager running the thing on an ongoing basis.
Now, this was one of several emails the committee highlighted from Park to others at the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services and the Department of Health and Human Services, talking about detailed briefings or talking about cybersecurity challenges. But for each email lawmakers highlighted, Park responded with a reason or an explanation about his participation. Tom, really, in the end, there was no, if you will, smoking gun that put Park in a situation he couldn't explain or made it seem like he had more control than he did.
So deep and deeper, I guess.
Yes, he got into deep and deeper yesterday.
Yeah, so why was there all this disagreement among committee members? Because they weren't quite on the same wavelength. I watched a little bit of that hearing and Park about his role in all of this healthcare.gov.
Not surprisingly, this was a very political hearing about a very non-political subject, the cybersecurity of healthcare.gov. Now, I totally understand the Affordable Care Act is very political, but the cybersecurity piece shouldn't be and traditionally isn't. But what came from this was two competing reports. The Republicans released one report that showed, in their view, that Todd Park's participation was much more in deep and deeper than he initially said, while the Democrats released a competing report that said, no, his influence was only as an advisor. So both sides are really piling on the evidence. So it's really kind of hard to understand who's right and who's wrong. But I think the hearing did show a few things. Todd Park did play a bigger role than he first talked about in the November 2013 hearing when he, former federal CIO Steve Van Roekel, and HHS CIO Frank Bateman all testified before the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, and they all kind of looked at each other and said, not my responsibility. I just reread the story I wrote from then, and Congressman Daryl Issa, the chairman of that committee, said, it's like an orphan, nobody wants responsibility, and they all kind of pointed at each other. I think there is some responsibility that this documents, whether you think Todd Park had a deep role or a deeper role. Point is, he played a bigger role than he first said. And the evidence shows a couple things. Park briefed the president and other senior White House officials at least twice during that 2013 rollout. He participated in multiple meetings, reviewed results of what they call red teams, which looked at potential problems and how fixes are. And he also was part of a report by McKinsey & Company highlighting risks and possible ways to address those risks. Ohio Congressman Bill Johnson, a Republican, particularly presses Park about his role.
Mr. Park, there you are being disingenuous again. You are the nation's CTO, appointed by the president to ensure the safety and security of our networks. You can't just say this was CMS's responsibility. And let me remind you that you can delegate responsibility to people that do the actual coding, to project managers and program managers, but you can't delegate accountability.
So again,
and you were responsible. You were accountable to the president, to the American people. Now, you've testified this morning that you briefed the president several times. Did you ever once tell the president that you had concerns about the security of the system as in your role as chief technical officer?
So again, go back to, co-chair. I think, a fundamental misunderstanding. In my role as US CTO, I haven't been, cybersecurity operations hasn't been a focus.
But it was as co-chair of the steering committee. It was clearly in the charter. The co-chair of the steering committee, you did have that responsibility.
I was co-chair on one of three co-chairs on a committee organized by OMB, and there was their privacy and security subgroup, as you have mentioned. But was staffed and led by agency personnel and was really self-propelled and driven by them. The point of us as co-chairs was to provide a neutral venue where agencies could get together to do that work.
Now, if you listen to that exchange, both parties make a fair point. You know, one hand, you had this role. Well, my role is really just oversight. So that's the way a lot of the hearing went from the Republicans' perspective. The Democrats on the other side obviously came out and supported Park. Congressman from California, Eric Swalwell, came to Park's defense.
I reviewed a minority staff report, which I asked be made part of the record, built on a complete review of the documents produced by the White House. The staff makes a very strong argument, supported by White House documents, that Mr. Park did not have a deep, direct, or intimate involvement in any of the work of developing the online marketplace launched on October 1st, 2013, or the cybersecurity standards and techniques used for the site. If he was playing such a role, there should be monthly progress reports from contractors that show progress against deliverables and requirements, costs of work, a critical path analysis that identifies where problems threaten a successful launch, and a discussion of the integration process for the site across an army of contractors on the project. None of these documents have been produced because Mr. Park was not the day-to-day manager on the project, nor are there any kind of documents that any of the contractors produce doing the actual work could possess, which would result or include a discussion of code, performance, and testing results. Those documents can be found at CMS, which managed this complex acquisition among the contractors. I believe that Mr. Park's job was about trying to push technology, and the record and evidence supports that.
Swalwell says that the hearing is more like a trial, and the allegations against Mr. Park by the majority of the committee could actually place him in legal jeopardy. So obviously, the Democrats came out very strongly supporting Park, saying that this hearing was unnecessary, that he should not be placed in this trial-like situation. Now, as for Park himself, he tried to time and again to explain his role. Question after question, Park came back to a simple premise.
My role as US CTO was not to oversee the internal federal IT budget and operations. However, given my background at HHS and as a health IT entrepreneur, I was asked to provide assistance to CMS, which was the agency in charge of managing the development of the new healthcare.gov, including the federally facilitated marketplace for health insurance. I provided assistance to CMS in a few different capacities. For example, I served as one of three co-chairs of an interagency steering committee organized by the Office of Management and Budget, and which focused on providing a neutral venue in which agencies like CMS, IRS, SSA, and others could work through interagency items, primarily in support of the Data Services Hub, which ended up going live quite successfully. I assisted with a red team exercise in early 2013 that helped identify actions to improve project execution, as well as some associated follow-on work that summer. From time to time, I helped connect people to each other, served as a spokesperson of sorts, and provide help on particular questions. However, to properly calibrate your expectations of my knowledge of CMS's initial development of the new healthcare.gov and the federally facilitated marketplace, I was not a project manager who was managing and executing the day-in and day-out operational work of building the new healthcare.gov and the federally facilitated marketplace. This was the responsibility of CMS. I didn't have the kind of comprehensive, deep, detailed knowledge of the effort that a hands-on project manager would have, and which I have had about other projects in my private sector work.
Now, Park also reiterated several times during the hearing, which was supposed to really, again, Tom, focus on healthcare.gov cybersecurity, that he is not a cybersecurity expert. He never claimed to be a cybersecurity expert and really did rely on CMS and other cybersecurity experts to inform him on the system status. Again, this was another point of contention throughout the hearing.
All I can say is this is going to really help his recruiting efforts for other executives in Silicon Valley.
Well, actually, Tom, real quick, that came up during the hearing. The Democrats brought that up and said this, if you will, witch hunt, as they said, was not going to help the government get better people for technology. So yeah, that was one of their points.
Come to Washington and have your character skewered. So Jason Miller, by the way, is our guest, or he's our executive editor. He's joining us now to talk about this hearing yesterday. Do we know why it took five requests and a subpoena to get Park to appear before the committee? And what about Van Roekel? How come they didn't call him in?
Well, we don't know why it took so long for the White House to respond or let Park testify. There's some kind of mention of, you know, White House privilege that the committee obviously did not agree with, but there was no real reason why it took so long. As for Steve Van Roekel, he only actually came up once during the hearing when one of the members highlighted an email from Mr. Van Roekel to Mr. Park, and the email basically highlighted Van Roekel's concerns about Park's increasingly close relationship with CMS and the fact that Van Roekel felt like he was maybe out of sync with the program. But there was nothing else. You know, he didn't come up as someone else who was supposed to have responsibility. It really was just focused on Park's role. But the fact it took Park so long to show up and frustrated the majority members of the committee. Again, Subcommittee Chairman Braun.
Mr. Park, I find your and the White House lack of transparency intolerable and an obstruction to this committee's efforts to conduct oversight. It took a subpoena to get you here, sir. It took another subpoena to compel your documents from the White House. But even with that, we have yet to receive all of your documents in compliance with our subpoena issued on September the 19th, exactly 2 months ago. As a gesture of good faith, committee staff have engaged in multiple in-camera reviews with White House lawyers. Yet there are still documents being withheld from the committee without a claim of a legally recognized privilege. That begs the question, what are you hiding, Mr. Park? I have some theories about the answer to that question. Perhaps it is that you knew there were serious problems with healthcare.gov prior to the launch, but you did not convey them on up the chain in your briefings with the president. Or perhaps you did, and they were ignored because of this administration's relentless pursuit to launch healthcare.gov on October 1st, 2013, no matter what the consequences may be.
By the way, Tom, as a quick aside, when it comes to the real subject of the hearing, the security of healthcare.gov,
What about that?
Well, Democratic Congressman Scott Peters of California actually pulled out a letter from CMS Administrator Marilyn Tavner, who wrote to Congressman Daryl Issa just back on November 14th, that says no person or group has maliciously accessed personal information from the healthcare.gov site. And the only one problem they had earlier this summer of malware, that the DHS said that was not the kind of malware that steals data. And CMS has resolved 22 technical recommendations GAO made in September 16th audit. We have a link to that letter on federalnewsradio.com.
Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. Thanks for that complete report.
Always a pleasure.